Thanks for listening to the Mornings with Carmen LaBurge podcast, made available thanks to support from listeners just like you.
Your daily encouragement that God has the world in the hollow of his hand. This is Mornings with Carmen LaBurge on Faith Radio. If we're gonna fly, we fly like eagles. Arms out wide. If we're gonna fear, we fear no evil. We will rise. By your power, we will go. By your spirit, we are bold. If we're gonna stand, we stand as giants. If we're gonna walk, we walk as lions.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's Friday morning. You are listening to... what are we? We're doing Mornings with Carmen. I've been doing the Faith Radio fundraiser all week, so I was also almost going to say, welcome to the, you know, but it's not, it's over. It's over. The fundraiser's over. You can still give. We appreciate every person who came forward with their best gift to Faith Radio. I'm Carmen LaBurge. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. Paul Perreault is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Super fun week. Thank you again so very much to each person who came forward. More than 1,360 people responded to just in these last few days to the invitation to sow financially into the ministry. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And maybe you are, you know, the only time that you ever listen is Friday morning and only to this hour. And so you're saying to yourself, well, I missed out. I didn't get a chance. Oh, no. You always have an opportunity. The difference is that when we're really focused on making the fundraising appeal, we have these wonderful students from the University of Northwestern St. Paul in a call center. They're off doing class today. Like, right, that's not happening. So you can always text the word give to 877-933-2484, and you can always give online at myfaithradio.com. It's just that during the fundraiser, it's kind of fun because you can actually call, which today, if you call... no one is, I don't think anyone's going
well,
to.
Well, you they can might press answer. A certain number and you can talk to an operator.
Yeah, but it's not as much fun. So just go ahead and give. If you missed out on giving during the fundraiser, you can still give. Like, right, it's listener-supported ministry. And so, obviously our needs are ongoing. And whenever you give, it's deeply, deeply appreciated. But you don't get to maybe hear your name on air. Like, I think that's part of the fun, too. So there you go. 877-933-2484. But you're going to want to use that as the text line today. And lots of you jumping in on the text line this morning. So thank you to each person who's just texted all kinds of things already today. I love that. You know, I love that engagement. So, Jessica, yes, too much oversharing on social media. I see that. And then those of you that are recommending some print editions in response to the conversation that we had a few minutes ago with Chris Martin about what we consume in terms of media content and social media as well. So if you missed those, you can check them out on the podcast. Again, you can find that at myfaithradio.com, on the Faith Radio app, all the places. So thank you for sharing the ministry with somebody else. I stayed up late last night because my friend Rosie asked me to go to a movie. So I got to see Unsung Hero last night. Thank you to the Smallbone family for their generous contribution that resulted in my being able to go see a movie for free. How fun is that? I know. There you go. So if you haven't seen it already, I'm going to recommend it. I don't often recommend movies because, you know me, I don't often see them. Mm-hmm. But this one, I can say, first of all, I love Rebecca St. James. I love For King and Country. You get their family story. You get to see how God answered prayers. You get to have a window into how God not only brought them to the United States of America, but how he provided for their needs. You get to meet some people who influenced them along the way. You get to see how God answered prayers through individuals, and you get to know their heart. And so I probably couldn't more highly recommend a movie than I can recommend this one. And we're going to talk with our friend Adam Holtz from Focus on the Family's Plugged In here in just a moment about other movies that he's recommending and things that are happening in the world of media. But I know that there are some of you who are hoping that I was paying at least some attention last night to the NFL draft. I know, because you know me. I'm a multitasker, and I'm here for you. And you didn't stay up maybe and watch the NFL draft, and so you're wondering how your team did and who you got and what's going to be happening. The first round of the NFL draft did hold the attention of many, many people across the country last night. I don't really know what to tell you other than... it was a very offensive night. Like, the offensive players were really, really highlighted. Caleb Williams went to Chicago. But I guess the most surprising pick of the night, the Atlanta Falcons picked a quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. And you're saying to yourself, everyone that lives in Minneapolis just threw their hands up in the air because they're like, wait a second. Just 6 weeks ago, they took our guy, like, right? Kirk Cousins. They signed him to a 4-year, $180 million contract like just a few weeks ago. And so you're like, why do they need another quarterback? Why did the Falcons pick a quarterback in the first round? Well, I don't know. That drama will unfold, I'm sure, in the future. But that does bring us to the team that at least some of you are interested in, and that is the Minnesota Vikings. They drafted Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. And so, I don't know, you might be jumping up and down because you're a football fan, but here's what I want to ask you as a Christian. This very, very high-profile young man, this young man who is going to have the attention and therefore the influence in the lives of tens of thousands of fans, what's his worldview? What's his faith perspective? I mean, you might be interested in wearing whatever his Vikings jersey is going to be, but is he wearing the Jesus jersey? So he was raised in a Christian family. We do know that. But if you listen to him talk about his own spiritual practices, you are going to hear about the practice of transcendentalism. You are going to hear him talk about Hindu breathing practices. You are going to hear him talk about radiating positive energy. You are going to hear him talk about channeling. So however you feel about football, however excited you might be that, you know, you've got a guy on your team that might be a really great football player, I want you to weigh the influence that these individuals have and the influence that extends so far beyond the gridiron. Just because some guy got drafted first, or maybe in Brock Purdy's case, the guy that got drafted last, what kind of influence they have on the field makes some difference. But they also have influence on the way that we think and the patterns that we adopt. Do we want our kids following the patterns of a young man who's talking about transcendentalism, Hindu breathing practices, radiating positive energy, and channeling? You're going to have to be prepared to have those conversations with your kids and maybe with your friends. These are men who have profound influence. We cheer them on from the sidelines. How are they influencing us? Not only here, but for eternity. Saul went from breathing threats against the church to becoming Paul, the greatest missionary the church has ever known. And so people can change. And in some cases, we might be wanting to be praying for a heart change, even for those who seem right now like they are at the very top of their game. We're going to talk with our friend Adam Holtz up next from Focus on the Family's Plugged In. We're going to spend some time talking about how entertainment shapes our beliefs. How does who you cheer for and what you cheer for shape your beliefs? How are you being shaped by the media you consume? That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. All right, that music means our friend Adam Holtz from Focus on the Family's Plugged In is here with us. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Carmen. How are you today?
I am wonderful. I'm fabulous. There was an absolutely stunning sunrise where I am today. How about you?
Have you even looked outside? No, I have not.
Okay. During the break, we're going to send you to the window. How's that sound?
Okay.
Because you're probably in a box right now, right, Grant?
I'm in my basement.
Exactly. So, this is what I'm thinking. Yeah. Okay, but we're sure that in Colorado, the sun is rising. The sun has risen here in Minnesota. We just heard from Chris Martin a few minutes ago. The sun is up in Tennessee. So I'm thankful that you're with us right now as the sun rises and we all declare our faith in the one in the sun who rose. Adam, tell us a little bit about some reviews posted right now at Focus on the Family's Plugged In. So you guys can check out what we're talking about today at PluggedIn.com. I saw Unsung Hero last night, so I want to know what you thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so great to actually have a conversation where we've both seen a movie, because that, as you mentioned, doesn't happen very often.
No.
Unsung Hero is the story of the Smallbone family, and you gave a pretty good summary of it. This is a family. David Smallbone was a concert promoter in Australia in the late 1980s, early 1990s. He makes a big bet on promoting Amy Grant's tour. It's going to cost him $1.2 million to, you know, take care of everything involved with it. His wife, Helen, is somewhat apprehensive, and there's a recession, and they lose everything. And then they move to Nashville, really, because that's where the epicenter of the Christian music industry is. And it's the story of what happens next. And it's the kind of story that if it didn't happen, like if this was a Christian movie that was just made up,
we would have all been like, whoa.
Oh, come on.
But because it is a true story, we love it.
But it's true.
I know. It's amazing.
I'm going to tell you a couple of things in particular that I love about this movie. It really is sort of a slow movement toward David promoting his daughter, Rebecca. He does so reluctantly because he knows that the Christian music industry is, as he describes it, it's an unforgiving, self-focused industry. And I thought one of the things that's interesting about this is, if you love Christian music, and I do, and a lot of other people do, it's not a very flattering portrait of the Christian music industry at any level. And that's not to say that good things can't come from it, but I think he reminds us this is a business, and the business is concerned with making money, even as we try to do ministry. So I was a little bit surprised at that. It felt like, wow, that is pretty harsh. And similarly harsh in a different way, we see David, who fails, you know, over and over and over again. They just run into a brick wall trying to promote Rebecca. And he sinks into what I have to characterize as a deep depression.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's this montage of him. He can't even get out of bed for what feels like weeks. I don't know how long it was in real life. And then he and his wife have a flat out fight. And they don't use profanity, but it ends with her slapping him in the face. And that felt pretty raw. Mm-hmm. Like, as Christian movies go, we like to keep things sort of in, generally speaking, Hallmark territory, kind of neat and tidy. And here you have a wife challenging her husband's pride, his self-absorption, his own self-pity. And I thought that was a pretty remarkable scene. And you understand where David's coming from. You know, mm-hmm. his identity is invested in providing for his family, which he desperately wants to do. But he's humbled. This is a man who's humbled. And in the midst of it, God works, God provides. So I thought there were some wrinkles here that really set this apart from a lot of other Christian movies that I have seen.
Yeah. And if
go ahead. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
If you know the music of Rebecca St. James and you know the music of For King and Country, you also have all of these moments throughout the film where you smile because you're like, oh,
yeah,
there's the inspiration for that song. Oh, there's and so that is really, really sweet. I also thought, you know, the fact that Joel Smallbone plays his dad. And so does those things and says those things that he remembers as a child. Like, right, that is really profound as well. So I think that you and I are both highly recommending Unsung Hero.
Totally.
Even though go see it. But also recognize that, you know, kids are kids. And so as kids are watching this kind of family drama play out, you know, kids have probably seen you fight as parents. I'm also hoping they have seen you reconcile in the ways that these parents did. You know, kids have been hurt by us. I hope that you have apologized to your kid in the same way that Joel, or that David Smallbone apologizes to his kids. I hope that, you know, you learn some things from them in terms of like taping the prayer request to the wall in terms of please, and then moving them over to the thank you column when God answers those prayers. There's really some profound things in the movie that are really, really, really sweet. All right.
Hey,
yes, I
Carmen,
do see. Yep. Mm-hmm.
One other really brief thing. If you're planning on seeing this movie, go this weekend. The first weekend is so important for Christian movies because it really sets the tone for what the box office is going to be. So don't wait. And I don't straight up promote things very often, but go.
Yeah, this is so good. I love all of you checking in on the text line. Keep those pictures of the sunrise coming. Really, really stunning. Thank you so much. 877-933-2484. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge. More with our friend Adam Holtz from Focus on the Family's Plugged In up next.
Anne texted me, and then we had a conversation on the phone. She's 86 years old, and her husband, Bob, is 96. She listens to the podcast every single day, and she gets a lot of encouragement for her walk of faith in the midst of a life that has grown difficult and weary in many ways. Anne has a Faith Radio story, and so do you. If Faith Radio is a part of your daily journey with God, we'd love to hear your story. Share how God is using Faith Radio to encourage you and help you grow at myfaithradio.com. And who knows, maybe Anne will hear your story and be encouraged as well. I'm Carmen LaBurge. It is Friday, the 26th of April, if nobody told you that yet. God loves you, in case nobody told you that yet. This is Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. We are here with our friend Adam Holtz from Focus on the Family's Plugged In. You can check out what we're talking about at PluggedIn.com. Adam, we got all kinds of things that we could unpack together. Let's reflect a little bit on what you guys talked about in a recent episode of the Plugged In Show, how entertainment shapes our beliefs. Can you just lead us into this conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we often will touch on how entertainment might affect our behavior. And one example of that is, what is the effect of violent video games on kids? And there's tons of research that shows that it impacts empathy and aggression. But I think we need to push a level deeper. And this is really what we do at Plugged In when we talk about worldview, is recognizing that the stories that we connect with, those stories have the ability to change what we believe, or to maybe subtly deflect or influence what we believe. And I'm going to give an example that maybe I've used before, but I think it's a telling example. In 2012, when he was then vice president, Joe Biden said he felt like the show Will and Grace, and I'm paraphrasing, but you can find this quote, Will and Grace did more to change the dialogue and the acceptance and to promote the acceptance of homosexuality in our culture than any other factor. And I think he's right about that.
I think he's right about that. I mean, that was my, that's my growing up. That's me right there. Yep.
Exactly. And so I think that is maybe a lightning rod example. But when we look at current polls or in surveys that show that up to maybe as much as a third of Gen Z identifies as, you know, somewhere on the LGBTQ spectrum, how did that happen? Well, it happened because of a constant drumbeat of normalization of a particular behavior that over time changes beliefs. And so a couple weeks ago, the cartoon Bluey came out, and there was a reference.
One Bluey has a dog in it. Bluey is like a blue dog. Okay, go ahead.
Right.
I mean, not everybody listening is like, you know, in
That's great. Australian animated show for kids. The last episode of the third season has a character who references his two moms. Now, you could say,
record, you can't make a dog with two girls. Cinnamon is going to have to find a boyfriend if we're going to have puppies at our house. She's a Jack Russell. I mean, no, she's not. She's a rat terrier, and she would like to meet a nice Jack Russell because we would like Jack rats. Anyway, there you go. But I happen to know that Bluey does not have two moms.
No, Bluey does not.
I live on a farm. Character. People should live on farms. There you go. Go ahead. Sorry, I interrupt.
No, but I mean, we've had an ongoing conversation about how much do we make of one line of dialogue that if you're not paying attention, you could miss. And on one hand, you say, oh, it's not that big a deal. But I think even that minimization shows that, you know, no, it is a big deal, because here we have yet another high profile example of normalizing that behavior and that set of beliefs. And that's just one. That's just one example. You could be against euthanasia and watch the movie Million Dollar Baby, in which Clint Eastwood plays Hillary Swank's coach as a boxer. She ends up as a quadriplegic. The movie is about her begging him to pull the plug on her because she can't stand to live now being a quadriplegic after being an athlete. And he does. It makes a very emotional argument. And that's one of the ways that, that entertainment works on us, right? Mm. It can make an emotional argument that can challenge our core beliefs sometimes, and we don't even realize it's happening. And with comedy, comedy is even more disarming because when we're laughing, oftentimes we're not thinking critically. So those are some of the things that we talked about on this episode of the Plugged In Show that you referenced. It's just the reality is that entertainment, week in and week out, it shapes our beliefs. You know, there's a new Taylor Swift album out with 31 songs. Our review will be up later today. Taylor Swift says some really critical things about the church, and she has what I would describe as a transcendent perspective on romance. She is looking for salvation in mm-hmm. a romantic relationship, mm-hmm. and it's not going to work, but she keeps doubling down incredibly hard on that worldview. Well, if you're a 13-year-old girl digesting those 31 songs, plus the 273 songs that she released before that, that worldview gets inculcated and over and over and over beaten into your head. My daughter, her best friend, listened to one Taylor Swift song 8,000 times last year because Spotify sends a report at the end of the year on your most listened to song, right?
Yeah.
What happens when you listen to a Taylor Swift song 8,000 times in a year as a 14-year-old girl?
I mean, what would happen if you listened to How Great Is My God 8,000 times?
Right.
Like, right? Like, we right. know that music, if it doesn't just inform us, it forms us. If you listen to anything 8,000 times, it's going to form you. All right, yep. I'm going to let you land the plane. I don't know if we can do it with Shogun, but there you go. Go ahead.
Well, Shogun obviously was a miniseries and a book by James Clavell that I think came out in the 70s. There was a miniseries in the 80s starring Richard Chamberlain. It was recently remade. I forget which network it was on, but his daughter has come out and said, you know, this is a story about honor and sacrifice. And it's a story that, I'll be fair, has a lot of content too. So don't just rush out and watch it. Check out our full review first. But she feels like those are really important topics to be discussing right now, and that they're still resonant in our culture. And I think that's a pretty interesting observation, Carmen.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We have like 1 minute on each of these topics. VeggieTales is returning, kinda.
VeggieTales is returning, kinda. Yes. Co-creator Phil Vischer has given us a sneak peek of a new show idea that, oh, it kind of feels like VeggieTales. And it was released on the Phil and Mike show, and they're continuing to create this thing where I'm not characterizing
That's okay.
it very well, but it has a VeggieTales kind of vibe to it, of these two characters named Phil and Mike, and the animation style will look familiar. And if you know Phil Vischer, he is an incredibly creative person. And the story of Phil Vischer and VeggieTales is one of tragedy and triumph and everything else. So he's coming back. So keep an eye out for the new show, Phil and Mike.
All right. And then a minute on The Chosen season 4.
Yep.
When?
It was going to be streaming in the next 4 to 7 weeks. And there's been some sort of under the radar controversy legally. Dallas Jenkins, the creator, has indicated there have been some conflicts behind the scenes regarding the streaming rights that they've been trying to sort out. But apparently it's coming in the next month to 2 months.
All right. Your part of this is to yell VeggieTales at the appropriate time. If you like to talk to tomatoes, if a squash can make you smile, if you like to waltz with potatoes up and down the produce aisle, well, if I got a show for you, VeggieTales. Broccoli, celery, gotta be.
VeggieTales.
Lima beans, collard greens, peachy keen.
VeggieTales.
Cauliflower, sweet and sour, half an hour.
VeggieTales.
All right, there you go. You
hey, Carmen.
Clearly, you need some work on this, man.
Oh, I'm sorry if my enthusiasm level was too low. Can I sing No Hair for My Hairbrush, which
yes.
is my favorite
Go.
Solo song?
Go.
With No Hair for My Hairbrush. No Fair for My Hairbrush. No hair, 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 no hair. My little hairbrush.
I think you need to work on that there, Adam.
All right.
Fair enough.
Sing your favorite VeggieTales song as you're doing whatever you're doing right now. Not everyone has a water buffalo. Is uh-huh. big,
That's
big, big,
one.
Big in our family as well. Right. Adam, as always, thank you for the joy that you share, that you bring. Thank you for the insights that you guys lead us into at PluggedIn.com. We really appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, Carmen.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. That is Adam Holz from Focus on the Family's Plugged In. What are you singing now? Mm-hmm. What are you singing? Do you have a favorite VeggieTales? Kim on the text line says, I do love that you just randomly sing things with people. Yes, well, poorly as well. All right. So I hope you're up and Adam this morning on this Friday, April the 26th. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBerge. Our Faith Radio Spring fundraiser just came to an end, but look at you guys still giving. Thank you for the gift that just came in online at myfaithradio.com from a friend in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. And Gabriel from Minneapolis giving for the very, very first time. Gabriel, we see your prayer request. Man, we're right there with you. We're going to encourage you in your walk of faith today that you would be rooted and grounded in love and that you would grow up today in every way into Christ who is the head. Thank you for your partnership in the ministry. Gabriel went online to myfaithradio.com and gave his best gift. So the Faith Radio Spring Fundraiser is technically over, but obviously the window of opportunity to give always open. So you could give your best gift by texting the word give to 877-933-2484 or online at myfaithradio.com. All right, Michael Austin does not know that he is on today because he is a Kansas City Chiefs fan, but I am counting on the fact that he knows what happened in the NFL draft. He's really joining us to talk with us about humility and rediscovering the way of love and life in Christ. But you feel like on the day after the first round of the NFL draft, when you've got a person who you know is a fan of a particular team, it's rude not to ask. So, Michael Austin, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Thank you very much.
Do you know, do you care what happened in the draft? And if so, who did the Chiefs get?
Yes and yes. And they got Xavier Worthy, who ran the fastest 40 ever at the NFL Combine. So, yeah, it's not good news unless you're a Chiefs fan.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. You are you're a college professor. You've also written a book on the topic of humility, which I find so necessary in our lives. I want to talk with you today about solitude. I want to talk with you about silence. So thank you so much for being here today. Let's start here. Like, we've really lost our way. When you say that we need to rediscover the way of love and life in Christ, that suggests that we've really lost our way. Can you just start us off there?
Yeah, you bet. And I think when I thought about this, some of it's just the same old stuff that's been, you know, human temptations for thousands of years, you know, like whether it's the Old Testament or the ancient Greek philosophers, we, you know, power, pleasure, and wealth are those three big temptations for us. And then I think in the United States, and of course, it's not an original thought, but I think a lot of us have lost our way. We put, you know, second things first, whether it's politics or those things I mentioned, and that character matters. Character's at the heart of being a follower of Jesus and, you know, follower of the way, as the book of Acts talks about it. So, yeah, those are some of the things that motivated me to think, well, what can help us return more fully into it?
So when you talk about rediscovering the way of love and life of Christ, you point us to some folks who, you know, have walked in that way that we might, you know, we might follow their lead. You reflect on Dietrich Bonhoeffer and his reflections on solitude. Can you talk about, you know, maybe drawing us into a conversation on the topic of humility through some of these side doors like solitude?
Yeah, it's really interesting when you think about solitude and silence and some of these other spiritual disciplines that, you know, some we practice more than others, depending on your background and denomination, those kind of things. But But yeah, humility, there, it's the side door in the sense, because it's, you can't just say, I'm going to become more humble. Like, we, you know, we can't control that directly, but we can sort of open up parts of our lives for God to build that virtue. And I think solitude is one of them. As in my own experience, if you unplug and you just spend time alone with, and like doing nothing, like just being, then you, it's easier to hear God's voice. And, you know, some of those, you get in touch with yourself and your emotions, all right, and maybe what's going on inside of you that it's easy to distract with podcasts or screens or work or even ministry activities, whatever it is. So yeah, I think solitude can help us get back in touch with our limits, our flaws, what's actually good and not good in our lives, and then that opens up room for God to work.
So Michael, I'm a person who really likes to be alone, like really, really likes to be alone.
Yeah.
I mean, if yeah. But there are, I do know other people who, like, they dread it. Like, you, they yeah. would do anything to avoid being alone. Can you talk about both of those as places from which, as Christians, you know, it's imperative that those of us who love, love, love being alone, it's imperative that we actually seek out and participate in community. And then for people who avoid being alone at all costs, that's saying something as well.
Yeah, this is a this quote that really stuck with me from Bonhoeffer. He says, I pulled it up here, whoever cannot be alone should beware of community, and whoever cannot stand being in community should beware of being alone. So there's sort of this, wherever you are on the spectrum, can be helpful to push yourself or allow God to take you to that other end. And I like being alone too. I remember back when the first early days of the pandemic, and like, you're going to have to shut down things for 2 weeks. And I was like, that's awesome. Just 2 weeks at my house, you know, by myself, all my, you know, or my wife would be there obviously too, some, but of course it lasted a lot longer, but yeah, you know, you have these natural bent. And so I think if we can't be alone, then the question is why, and processing that with maybe some good friends and God, and thinking, okay, there's some things that maybe I'm avoiding or trying to distract myself from, that I should actually engage God about. And then, of course, like you mentioned, people who just can't stand being in community, there's sort of that thing too. So yeah, these other extremes, we've got to move towards the other end of it if we can, because we're meant to be alone with God, but we're meant to flourish in community as well. And that's something I didn't like when I first thought my spiritual health depends on other people. There's a humility that comes from that, because you realize I can't do it on my own, but I don't want to depend on other people in that way. You know, you just kind of have that me and God mentality is all that I need, but it just, that's not the way we're built.
We're talking with Michael Austin. He is a professor and a writer and a speaker. He's, you know, he's focusing in on how spiritual formation is actually connected to cultivating Christian character. And so this conversation today is specifically about the topic of humility. It's the title of his new book, Rediscovering the Way of Love and Life in Jesus Christ. Humility, maybe, Michael, is something that we know is a good thing because it's so Jesus-y. But in the culture today, you know, maybe humility is not something that is highly valued and prized. Can you talk about that? Like, you know, valuing something because it is the way of Christ, even though the world doesn't value it?
Yeah, that can be really difficult. And it's... Yeah, when you just actually look at Christ himself, that's where I started back. I mean, I started thinking and writing about this in 2008, and he was humble, and he didn't, you know, the things that we want, that we're pushed towards, you know, there was the same thing then, I'm sure. People still liked power and attention and good PR, and Jesus just didn't care about that. You know, he flouted those things, the expectations of the culture and spending time with the people on the margins. So I think we feel like, if we have, we want a platform, we want people to listen to us, we want our thoughts to get out there, and just realizing that that may not be what God wants. Like, maybe our world is supposed to be smaller than we think it should be. You know, maybe what matters more are the people in my home and in my community and in my church, because that's where God physically planted me. And there's a humility to that, because that should be enough. And in a culture where it's about noise, about, you know, kind of being brash and getting attention, that's very countercultural to not need that or not even seek it.
So you probably don't listen to the show every day, and you probably weren't listening at the very beginning of January. So you don't know that my word for the year is small. I have been in a season walking with some, with a very small handful of women, but walking in the season of solitude and silence, seeking, you know, Sabbath rest before the Lord, and like intentionally encouraging one another in that. And so this year, my word is small, and it absolutely resonates with all the things that you just said. Like my own home, who's in my own home, who's in my own family, who's on my street, who's in my local church, because I obviously get to have conversations every day with a very, very big world, with a lot of people, but every single one of those conversations is with an individual. Like, yeah. And so, considering the reality of the need to nurture, my own walk of faith, and to really get intimate with God, because the temptation, you know, of going big, right, and of you begin to imagine too much of yourself, right? And so this making less and less of ourselves and making more and more and more of God, because that's real reality. The world is super confusing on this point, and seeks to lead us into all kinds of lies. And I really appreciate the way you are leading us back to this intimacy with God, where we can know the truth of who He is and who we are in relationship to Him. And because that just means we can just walk with such peace in a world of such chaos.
Yeah. And there's such a freedom to that. I don't need to manage my reputation, or, you know, someone like people like you in media, or Christian leaders, or people who write for a more general audience like me, there's that extra temptation of it's got to be big, got to be big. And of course, it's ironic writing a book on humility. I'm thinking, man, I hope this book, like,
I hope a million people read this book. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so I had to come to a place with God. It was like, I worked hard on this. I believe this can be helpful. And if it's 500 people that buy it and read it, or 500,000, to be okay with that. And I really am. I mean, it took a while to get there, but, you know, it's just funny in that process. You know, I write a book on it, and then, oh, wait, humility means kind of not worrying about that in this context either. So, yeah, it's a temptation for all of us, I think.
We're going to continue our conversation here in just a moment with Michael Austin. You can connect with him online at michaelwaustin.com. The book is Humility, Rediscovering the Way of Love and Life in Christ. If you know that you need some help getting alone with God, being encouraged in solitude and silence, and you want to learn some very practical practices related to that, this is a wonderful, wonderful tool that God has given us through the pen of Michael Austin, and I just want you to avail yourself of it. So check it out, Humility, Rediscovering the Way of Love and Life in Christ. We're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. I'm going to try to find how many copies of things that Bonhoeffer wrote have actually been read, because I'm betting that it wasn't a million during his lifetime. So yeah, I'm going to do that research during this very, very brief break. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. Hey, I really like it that you listen whenever you want, wherever you are, at all times of the day and night. That is so cool. So thank you so very much for all the ways in which you support this ministry with your prayers and words of encouragement. Right now, in order for this podcast to be available everywhere all the time for everyone, I actually need your help. Could you support this podcast right now so that more people in more places at every hour of every day could hear about Jesus and grow in their relationship with Him? Click the link in the show notes or give now at myfaithradio.com. And thank you so much again for listening to this podcast. How do you feel about being alone? How do you feel about being alone? Do you crave and seek out alone time with God? Jesus did. Got away by himself with the Father frequently, right? Because he just needed that one-on-one time. He needed that solitude. How about silence? How do you silence every voice but the voice of God? Do you know how to get to the secret place? Do you know that God's waiting to meet you there right now? Do you have a practice of centering yourself in prayer? We're talking today with Michael Austin. He is the author of, most recently, a book called Humility, Rediscovering the Way of Love and Life in Christ. You can connect with Michael online at michaelwaustin.com. com. I'd like to talk with you, Michael, about some of your personal practices. Like when you first tried to implement solitude and silence, what was that like? What did you do to, you know, where did you start?
Yeah, I think I've tried, like back in the 1990s, I read Richard Foster's book and that motivated me, but really it'd been a while. And
okay, when you say Richard, so for people who maybe, that's okay, yeah. Because some folks listening, like the faith journey is totally brand new to them, so they don't know Bonhoeffer, they don't know Richard Foster. So can you, when you say, hey, you know, back in the 90s I read Richard Foster, because so did I, right? And so when we have that conversation, what are we talking about?
Yeah, so he has this, it's now a classic book called Celebration of Discipline, which was basically, it's about, I don't know, 10 or 12 disciplines, and one, including both solitude and silence. So I did some then, but it was really in recent years. Dallas, I don't even know where I got it. Dallas Willard, uh-huh, philosopher at USC, wrote on spiritual formation too. He talked about like solitude, but just being alone and doing nothing. Like, I think I thought you had to do something. And sometimes you can, but there's times of just sit and just, I would set a timer in my little home office for 15 or 20 minutes and do nothing. And I had to set the timer because I would want to get up, or I'd want, you know, be fidgety, or it just was hard. So just sitting and doing nothing. That was the beginning. And then I started, you know, from doing something, it's called centering prayer. I'm not sure where this comes from in our tradition, but basically you kind of have a word you focus on to help you focus back on God. You know, it might be love or faith or hope or just some character attribute of God, but that helped me too. And then there's like a focus, and maybe God says, here's a way you can have more faith. But it's not easy. I mean, and I still struggle with it. I think of times where I'm like, I don't want to do that. I've got stuff I have to get done. And then that takes us back to humility. It's because, well, yeah, but you know, you'll 20 minutes, you can do it. You know, the world will wait. You're not that important. You're not that important. So anyway, those are some initial thoughts I have.
So the method of praying, that centering prayer, that contemplative prayer model, I learned that in seminary reading Teresa of Avila. Like, right? So she does the centering prayer just in relationship to the Lord's Prayer. And like, she spends days just on the word hour.
Yeah.
Like, would you just... Yeah, and then just the word Father.
Mm.
And, you know, right? I mean, so like, I'm just saying, like, you can, when you talk about centering prayer and you introduce that to people for the first time, I mean, the first time that you try to do it, if you're just going to focus on one word, you know, people are like, what? But the more you spend time with that word and you spend time asking God to like take you deeper and deeper and deeper into what it means for him to be our Father, that when I'm praying, it's not just me, and it's not even just me and Jesus. I mean, what does it mean for God to be our Father, the God and Father of us all? Like, I don't know. I mean, it's an ocean that you can never plumb the depths of. And I think when we talk about centering prayer, there's just a lot of folks who've never even been like introduced into the method. So I really appreciated that you highlight some very, very practical methodologies as well.
Yeah, and these are things, you know, you can find some of these practices in the scriptures and from Jesus, and then others are things that we've come up with. And one thing that's really freeing, and not in a weird or bad way, but is to, as Dallas Willard talks about as well, to be willing to experiment in the spiritual realm, and not in a strange way, but just try a practice, and if it doesn't work for you, then do a different one, you know, because the way we're constructed, some things can be really helpful. Like, there are times in my life when journaling has been really helpful, and there are times where I'm just like, it's just not there. So I do something else, because the point's not to get good at the practice, right? The point is to, it's that transformative union with Christ. And these are ways that, man, people that have gone before us, like Teresa of Avila, you know, I recently read her book as well, and they can guide us and help us, because they learned the hard way by actually doing this kind of thing. So I love that.
I think experimenting like in the area of prayer is really so helpful too. Like, you know, maybe you feel like your prayer life has gotten stale. All right, well, get out and take a walk and walk around and pray for everything that you see and every person along the way. And then imagine that you've got a quiver full of arrows, and target those prayers and shoot them in particular directions at particular people. Like, there's all kinds of prayer practices that that you can enter into, and you know, write your prayers down, use the Psalms and make them your own. I mean, pray the prayers of Jesus and Paul, and I mean, just there's so many prayer practices that you can enter into. If you feel like you've reached a place of staleness, then experiment. Like, what, you know, use prayers that other people wrote, or enter into community prayer, communal prayer. Like, there's just try a different posture of prayer, or a different place where you pray, or a time of day. So we want to invite you. I think, you know, one of the things you're stimulating, and I appreciate this, Michael, is the invitation to rediscover the way of Jesus. Like, right. Like, let's just spend some time being humble enough to recognize that none of us is there yet. And that none of us has gone as deep as we could go, or as far as God is inviting us to go. And so if you want to deepen and sweeten your walk of faith with Jesus, maybe it's time to rediscover humility. That's the title of the book, Humility, Rediscovering the Way of Love and Life in Christ. Michael, anything you want to say here as we conclude our conversation?
No, I think that's great. I would say God gave us an imagination, and those are some of the ways to use it in a healthy way. Yeah.
That's so good. Hey, I know you guys want to connect with Michael now, so you can do that at Michael W. Austin, like the city, Michael W. Austin, or like Michael. Yeah, that'd be good. I was going to say like Michael W. Smith, but there you go. MichaelWAustin.com. Check out his book, Humility, Rediscovering the Way of Love and Life in Christ. What a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, friends, as we turn toward the world that God so loves, I know a lot of you are already out there doing what you're going to be doing today. So if you're plowing a field, or if you're walking into a classroom, if you're about to, you know, take care of that hospice patient, maybe you are headed into a boardroom, or, you know, just whatever it is that's happening in your world today, go with Jesus. Like, right? He's already there. He's gone before you. But be sure that before you walk into the world that God so loves, you know that you're doing so as a representative, representing Christ to others. So let the mind of Christ be in you. Let him captivate and capture your thoughts today. Cultivate the mind of Christ on the matters that are before you today. Do your work as unto the Lord. I mean, it's Friday. Let's finish well for those of us who have a 5-day work week. And for those of you who are going to be working over the weekend, do everything as unto the Lord. What a wonderful week together. For those of you who participated in the Faith Radio Spring fundraiser, for those of you who prayed for us throughout the fundraiser, you know, God is so, so good. Thank you so much. We just had a friend check in from Westerville, Ohio, a $2,000 gift online at myfaithradio.com. We are absolutely praying for you and your family. I see your prayer request. God is with you and for you. And as you are clinging to him, may you find him ever, ever faithful. Thank you to Lisa in Hugo, Minnesota, for checking in as well online with your gift. The Faith Radio fundraiser is technically over, but, you know, I see the outpouring of your love and giving. So thank you so very much. Check out what's happening online and avail yourself of the resources available at myfaithradio.com. Have a great weekend, and God bless. Thanks for listening to Mornings with Carmen LaBurge. Podcasts like this are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes to give now. And thanks.